Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are back here on The Punch Out, 3rd of September 2021. Happy Friday to everybody. Got plenty for you here on the show, as we always do. We're going to be talking about even more tax evasion tricks that the ultra-wealthy use. We're going to be talking about how unions are more popular in the United States than they've been in decades. But before we get to either of those two very important stories, we want to start with the climate-induced famine unfolding right now in Madagascar. The United Nations World Food Program has been ringing the alarm bell all summer about famine in Madagascar, the world's first fully climate change-induced famine. By next month, the WFP suspects that 30,000 people could be facing a level 5 food crisis. That's the highest there is. So 30,000 people facing complete famine. They also note that in the most hard-hit areas of Madagascar, that's the southern region of Madagascar, there are 1.14 million people who are food insecure right now, including 110,000 children. Time magazine reports, quote, the WFP, which is on the ground helping with food distribution, describes scenes of unimaginable suffering, with families bartering everything they have, even cooking pots and spoons, for the paltry tomatoes, scrawny chickens, and few bags of rice still available in the markets. And Al Jazeera adds that people have, quote, resorted to eating locust, wild leaves, mud, and cactus fruits to survive. The famine situation is a result of 4 straight years of drought that has devastated agriculture, causing losses of up to 60% of agricultural products in some areas. And as Time magazine further summarizes, quote, increasing temperatures are disrupting global weather patterns that farmers, particularly those in the developing world, have relied on for centuries. Monsoons have become increasingly unpredictable, starting later than usual, showing up in the wrong place, or sometimes not showing up at all. This is wreaking havoc in places that depend on rain for agriculture. The southern part of Madagascar, a lush, largely tropical island famous for its biodiversity, has experienced below-average rainfall for the past 5 years. Most people in the south depend on rain-fed, small-scale agriculture for survival, but because of the drought, rivers and irrigation dams have dried up. And this all means, as Al Jazeera notes, that, quote, Madagascar produces 0.01% of the world's annual carbon emissions, but it's suffering some of the worst effects. The World Food Program also notes that in addition to this natural reality, that other massive human disaster, capitalism, is also playing a role in this famine, stating, quote, continuous increases in the prices of certain basic foods, coupled with a marked decrease in availability on the markets, continues to negatively impact food security. All told, this really brings the impact of climate change even further into focus. The climate crisis, the climate disaster, the existential need to act immediately is not something coming in the future. It's here now. In the newest iteration of Gallup's poll tracking the popularity of unions are more popular in the United States than at any time since 1965. They have a 68% approval rating this year. It was 71% in 1965, in case you were wondering. Now, that 68% isn't a huge jump from last year when it was also pretty high, a 65% approval rating, but it's been part of a steady uptick since 2009, where unions had their lowest approval rating since 1936, which was 48%. I mean, it's really notable that despite all the hatred and propaganda directed towards and at unions by employers, that only one time since 1936, support for unions ever dropped below 50% in this Gallup poll. Only one time since 1936, one has less than half of the population told Gallup they approved of unions. If you're wondering how union members feel about how they're doing, 86% of union members approve of unions. Unions had a 77% approval rating among those 18 to 34 and a 72% approval rating of those making less than $40,000 a year. One notable factor is that 47% of Republicans approve of unions, which seems interesting given that the Republican Party has to be one of the most anti-union forces on the planet. The relatively high support for unions is expressed in all sorts of polling, and this poll makes it worth remembering one from 2018, which asked non-union workers if they wanted to join a union. And that poll discovered that 58 million American workers would want to join a union if they could, which would quadruple the number of current union members. And this is certainly why corporations spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year on anti-union propaganda, some estimate as much as $340 million a year, and also why they outright cheat and violate the law during union drives on a regular basis. As the Economic Policy Institute lays out, quote, employers were charged with violating workers' legal rights in 41.5% of all NLRB-supervised union elections. Employers were charged with illegally firing workers in at least one-fifth of elections. In nearly a third, 29.2% of all union elections, employers were charged with illegally coercing, threatening, or retaliating against workers for union support. Larger employers are even more likely than others to break the law in elections involving more than 60 voters. More than half, 54.4% of employers in those sorts of situations were charged with at least one illegal act. All of which impresses, once again, on all of us, the importance of things like the PRO Act, the union-backed law that may end up as a part of the Democrats' budget reconciliation bill that would make it much harder for employers to stop workers' legal right to organize. Bottom line, whatever else you can say, people understand why it's important to come together and collectively organize for your rights on the job in very large numbers. Well, speaking of the budget reconciliation bill and also the infrastructure bill for that matter, the ultra wealthy are in a full on propaganda blitz to prevent any significant changes to the tax code, which benefits them so significantly in the process of passing either of these bills to pay for them. Since Democrats control the Congress, there has been quite a bit of focus on trying to influence that party and the broader subset of the electorate that is sympathetic to Democrats to try to blunt the influence of the idea widely held among Democrats and the population that rich people should pay more in taxes. Recently, a few former Democratic senators have been mobilized to ramp up the fight against the stepped-up basis rule. That's a part of the capital gains tax that Biden and many Democrats want to eliminate. Now, I know this is, what is this, you're thinking, very esoteric sort of tax, but it actually is an amazing giveaway to the heirs of the rich. What this tax break allows is the transferring of unrealized capital gains to your heirs tax-free. Now, the easiest way to think of capital gains is to think of things like stock holdings. A capital gain is what happens when you sell an asset like a stock that has risen in value over time. You have to pay a tax on the increased value, the so-called realized capital gains. You're selling the stock. Unrealized means you continue to hold it and can continue to increase in value, but it's not considered income under the tax code now unless you liquidate the stock. But, and this is a huge but to that rule, if you never sell the asset and you pass it on to your heirs, the unrealized capital gains tax on the asset is exempt from the capital gains tax forever. That is, your heirs get the money and can sell it and don't have to pay the tax. So obviously, this is a massive tax loophole for wealthy people, and Biden has proposed ending it. I mean, how could you really oppose this, right? Well, those who are opposing it are saying that it's bad because it means that farmers cannot pass on their farms to their heirs without paying a huge tax on the value of the farm. And so ending the loophole would destroy small farms in America. One problem with that argument is it's a lie. In the official Treasury Department explanation of the plan to end the loophole, it states, quote, family-owned and operated businesses would not have to pay the tax until the interest in the business is sold or the business ceases to be family-owned and operated, end quote. So in other words, as long as you keep operating a family-owned business, including a farm, the capital gains exemption remains. That is, you'll not be taxed for it, unless you were, of course, to sell it. So clearly, farmers have nothing to worry about here as it concerns passing on their farms to their heirs who want to continue farming. And even if they don't want to continue farming, by the way, and they do sell it, you got 15 years to pay the tax. So the only people who have something to worry about here really are billionaires, or at least people with hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's what it really comes down to. You look at some of these spokespeople like Heidi Heitkamp, former senator from the Dakotas. She's one of the major figures in this crew of former senators opposing the change. And she's doing so on behalf of a dark money outfit that she heads that's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on ads on this issue. Now, they don't have to disclose their donors, but I wonder who could be donating to such a group. The ultra-wealthy in this country are determined to pay not one extra cent in taxes no matter what happens. If the bridges collapse, if families go without childcare, if workers don't have paid family leave, whatever. Who cares from the point of view of the ultra-rich? And it seems that they're willing to go to great lengths, even getting former senators to lie, to make sure that they really don't pay an extra cent in taxes. That's the punch out for today. We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.